Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM. With Ted Grant and myself, Mira Soleil-Ross, today we're talking about AIDS and animal research with Stephen Simmons, who is an AIDS activist from New York City working with people for the ethical treatment of animals. And I would like to say that 10 years ago when I was a teenager, I became strongly involved in animal rights, and shortly after that I came out as queer, and I remember being out and loud in the queer community about my animal rights conviction, except for one taboo issue, the use of animals for AIDS research. I didn't know many animal rights people who were also active in the lesbian, gay, and AIDS community, so I felt isolated, and most of the time I kept quiet much more often than I should have. That's why I'm very glad that Ted and I have the opportunity to talk with Stephen today, because I think he's the kind of person I would have liked to network with at the time. So are you there, Stephen?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you very much for having me on.
You were at the March on Washington, right?
Yes, I was.
Could you tell us why you were there and what was your message?
Well, for some time now, I've been working on trying to build bridges between the AIDS gay community and the animal rights community, because as a longtime animal rights activist and a gay person and a person living with AIDS, I myself have always seen the natural connections between fighting for the rights of people living with illness and trying to change the system to make it more compassion-based and the goals of the animal rights movement. And in the last few months, the pharmaceutical and animal research industries have attempted in a very concerted way to pit animal rights activists against AIDS activists. They're going to celebrities and saying you can't support PETA and AIDS research and trying to get them to choose. Consequently, they did manage to get a few AIDS activists, including Jeff Getty, who received the baboon bone marrow transplant a few months ago, to come to Washington to counter-protest the animal rights activists who were gathering there. And so I began building a very strong coalition of AIDS activists who support animal rights, and several members of ACT UP San Francisco came to Washington and spoke at the rally. We had statements from other activists in Seattle and Washington and London who all, you know, are strongly coming forward and supporting the animal rights agenda, including an end of animal research in AIDS.
What was the reaction of other ACT UPs to ACT UP San Francisco coming out against animal experimentation?
Well, there is certainly a lot of division within the AIDS community at this point. And I think partially that's because a lot of people simply aren't educated about the facts, what is really going on in AIDS research. I know that many people with AIDS or people who have been affected have realized that something is wrong. We're not making the kind of progress that we should make. There's a lot of political influences. There's certainly a lot of commercial influences, and that there's pretty much a consensus that decisions are not always made in the best interests of people with AIDS. And that has led many, more and more people to take a critical look at the animal experimentation end of things. And what they find out is that the kinds of experiments that are being conducted are extremely wasteful, they're extremely cruel, they're often duplicative, and in every case, they're simply not applicable to human beings. What we've learned in the last few years about human immunology really makes the notion of trying to create these animal models of the disease completely archaic and obsolete, because there are unique immune responses in human beings that lead to AIDS. That's why no other species naturally develops AIDS.
Do you think that much of the split between animal rights activists and AIDS activists has been manufactured by animal researchers and the pharmaceutical company, or to what extent?
I absolutely do believe that that has been manufactured by the biomedical research industry. For example, this counter-protest in Washington was completely funded by a group called Americans for Medical Progress, which is an organization that was started by U.S. Surgical Corporation simply to defend all animal experiments and to try to discredit animal rights activists as crazed lunatics. And that's their whole approach. They got Jeff Getty and other members of ACT UP Golden Gate, which is an organization that does receive a lot of its funding from pharmaceutical companies and has always been loath to really criticize to bite the hand that feeds them, if you will. And now they've taken a step further by actually joining forces and designating PETA as their enemy. So I think it's a really alarming trend within AIDS activists that these sort of unholy alliances are being formed between the system that these groups were formed to fight.
Mm-hmm. Even here in Toronto, about a week and a half ago, our main lesbian and gay newspaper, Extra, published an article entitled "At Each Other's Throat: AIDS versus Animal Rights." One thing I find very disturbing about the way gay media have covered the issue, as well as mainstream media, is by always trying to portray people who are animal rights activists as AIDS-phobic and also homophobic. And I find it's really passing under silence the fact that many of us are queers and many of us are lesbian, gays, and have been active for many, many years in the AIDS community.
Yes, that is absolutely right. And it's really absurd, this attempt to paint animal rights activists as misanthropic, anti-human, mean-spirited people. The thing is, what we're promoting is an ethic of compassion for all living beings. We're saying it's time for us to end this hierarchy of who has the right to live, who deserves not to suffer, who should be respected, that there's a limit on the amount of compassion that we can have for our fellow creatures. And people are so ingrained in this mentality that some have to be sacrificed for others, or that someone's life is more important than someone else's, that if someone says, oh, well, I have compassion for animals, and they think, oh, you must not have room for compassion for people. But I know, literally, I've met thousands of animal rights activists over the last 10 years, and I can tell you that they are the most compassionate people. They're generally people who have experienced firsthand the suffering of life, either in their own lives or those close to them. I certainly know that many people in the animal rights community have been affected by AIDS. I myself am living with the disease, yet I'm spending all of my time fighting for animal rights, because I believe that that will ultimately help us end the AIDS crisis, because what we need is to focus on compassion. We need to move away from this old paradigm that costs people and animals their lives.
People like you, I think, really represent a threat for animal researchers because of the viewpoint from which you speak out.
Well, yes, obviously they are very threatened because their careers are based on an old model that has to give way. Animal research, you know, has really assumed its current role over the last century, and was instituted at a time when we knew a lot less about animals and how they suffer. We knew a lot less about the differences physiologically between people and animals. We also know a lot more about disease now. We know that it's a complex phenomenon, that it has mental and emotional aspects, that it occurs in a whole context. And I think AIDS really highlights that. This mechanistic approach of just trying to recreate the infection in animals is really quite outdated. And so now, rather than moving on and being innovative and creative as science should be, they're simply digging in their heels and engaging in a battle against those who simply want us to move in a more modern, promising direction.
Wow, that's well said. I think even surpassing the moral and ethical level, there's also the empirical side to the whole argument, that being that most of what we found out thus far about the disease and its effects haven't even come from tests on animals. And in fact, maybe you could verify this, Stephen, that there's been a minimal, at best, amount of information derived from animal testing in AIDS.
That is absolutely true. And in fact, I was recently at the International AIDS Conference in Vancouver, and I talked with a lot of people about the animal question, and there were people on various sides of the issue, but most of the people who were really aware of the science and what is cutting edge in AIDS research really agreed that animal research has just never played a major role. In fact, the only information that it has given us has misled us in making false assumptions about the human illness. For example, there's a researcher formerly at Yerkes Primate Center in Atlanta who has been infecting monkeys with SIV for many years and getting large grants to do this. And it was her research that made us assume that HIV was transmitted from mother to child through breast milk, because that's how monkeys transmit SIV. It was only later that we learned that human mothers transmit in utero. So something like that is going to vastly affect treatment decisions and research in terms of preventing that transmission. And meanwhile, we spent millions of dollars studying these monkeys, subjecting them to horrible cruelty in laboratories, only to get us information that could actually harm people.
Very well said. And even on another layer, maybe we might even go so far as to say that one of the biggest things we've learned in all this is that, in fact, it's education about the issue, education to younger people and to the gay community as well as the heterosexual community about prevention and that while billions are spent on animal research, next to nothing is spent on the actual education.
Yes, this, of course, is a problem throughout our healthcare and medical system. Very little emphasis is on prevention. The World Health Organization released a report a few years ago saying that medical interventions are only going to influence overall health by at most 10%, that it's lifestyle and environment and hygienic conditions that really exert the most influences on human health. Most of the diseases that in the Western world we suffer from, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, are largely preventable. Yet there's very little resources devoted to education, and that's because these invasive, heroic biomedical interventions are simply a more profitable business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real conflict of interest. The people who are getting the resources, when you look at AIDS, who is in charge of the coffers? It's not people who I believe have our best interests. It's people who really want to protect their careers.
Isn't it true that maybe even the people that are in charge of this whole issue are the same people who are in charge of the war against cancer? And in fact, what you were saying about lifestyle and diet and such is really...
Absolutely. The war against cancer has been a complete failure. Every year, cancer incidence has continued to rise. And we've spent billions of dollars. We have killed billions of animals. People continue to die. There obviously needs to be a complete overhaul and a reevaluation of where we're putting our resources and of who is making the decisions. We know that it's profit-driven. We know that it's Wall Street analysts, ultimately, who make the recommendations that the pharmaceutical companies follow. Then, of course, they have one of the most powerful lobbies in the government. So what you have is a system that makes a few people very rich at the expense of a lot of others' lives.
Is there some dissension amongst AIDS researchers themselves, not AIDS activists, but AIDS researchers, about the validity of animal experimentation?
There is dissension. Again, in Vancouver, I spoke with a number of epidemiologists and cell culture researchers, people who are working in other areas, who sort of are silently dissenting. Of course, it's very difficult, whether you're employed in academia or by a private research institution or a government agency, it's very difficult to speak out against the system. So many people, in the interest of wanting to continue their research, which they think is promising, don't want to rock the boat by publicly coming out against the animal experiments. But I believe that it is a widespread sentiment within certain parts of the scientific community.
Probably a feeling of unsatisfaction with the results that they have achieved so far.
Yes, it's just so clear. It amazes me when groups like Americans for Medical Progress begin to cite all of the amazing, miraculous advances that we've made. And they'll point to a few examples, but you have to question, are things really better? Are things really moving in the right direction? Are people getting healthier? Are there fewer people coming down with infectious diseases? No, quite the contrary. It's just stunning, the illusion that they try to create that all these miracles have been performed and that we're on the verge of eliminating disease. That's simply a fantasy.
One great concern that many animal rights activists in general have, but also some AIDS researchers, is the great danger of cross-species infection and of a potentially world-devastating epidemic. Could you talk about that?
Yes, this is something that caused me a great deal of alarm when I heard last year that Jeff Getty from San Francisco was lobbying to receive a baboon bone marrow transplant, because I had researched a great deal. Several years ago, they were doing these baboon liver transplants at University of Pittsburgh, and this was an evolution of the same research program. And there are many reasons why this is a very bad idea. First of all, it's a very, very costly procedure. There's been no scientific grounding for it in terms of they were hoping to create this parallel immune system, because baboons don't get AIDS, that they would somehow give this human patient a baboon's immune system. And there was just no basis for that. But the most frightening element of it is that, as we know, many microorganisms that are pathogenic in one species are safe in another and vice versa. And there was this very real risk that we know already that baboons carry things like E. coli and hantavirus and Ebola and things that can be deadly to people, and it's almost certain that they carry other viruses and bacteria and parasites that we haven't even identified that could unleash new plagues. It's widely felt that HIV probably came from African monkeys originally. And so we may be deliberately recreating the environment in which a new plague can be unleashed. And that's a very frightening thing to do, and it was done without proper consideration of that.
Even the Federal Drug and Administration took quite a while to okay the marrow transplant.
Yes, and that's because they convened a panel of immunologists, and they agreed across the board that this procedure was more likely to kill AIDS patients than to help them, and that there was this risk of unleashing new viruses. The FDA never would have approved the procedure until the patient himself and his family went before them with tears in their eyes and made this plea to give a dying man his last wish. And they made it very clear to them that it would be politically troublesome for a federal agency to deny a dying man his desire to participate in this experiment. And it was only under that kind of pressure that it was approved. And that is why now many, many people in the AIDS community are strongly coming out against this, because if we start allowing small groups of activists to deregulate the safety mechanisms we have in place to that extent where it's a free-for-all and everything goes, then AIDS patients are going to be no better off, and we're really going to be playing a very dangerous game.
That's not even to speak of the baboon, and I guess I should mention that the baboon donor died.
Yes, that is correct. And not only that one baboon, the researcher went through at least 100 baboons trying to find the right one. Over the last several years, that researcher has killed thousands of animals in preliminary warm-up experiments, trying to transplant rat bone marrow into mice and vice versa, and using every species she could get her hands on. This baboon was only the latest victim of her killing spree.
Part of the fund to proceed to the marrow bone transplant came from ACT UP Golden Gates, I think. Is it possible?
Yes. I'm not sure exactly how the funding was split, but I know that it was ACT UP Golden Gate and Project Inform, which is another San Francisco-based organization that poses as one that promotes alternative treatments and helps people get access to the latest experimental treatments. They receive a lot of funding from pharmaceutical companies, and they too have become sort of a shill for the industry. And without their help, this never would have taken place. So obviously the biomedical industry has realized that co-opting the AIDS movement is very beneficial for them, and they've been very successful at doing that. Many, many ACT UP chapters around the world now are funded by pharmaceutical companies, which, in my opinion, goes directly against the founding spirit of what ACT UP is supposed to be.
Stephen, do most primates used in AIDS research come from the wild?
Well, at this point, most of them are captive bred. In particular, chimpanzees, which are a popular HIV research subject because they are the only species that can actually be infected with HIV, except for genetically engineered mice. They have been a popular model, and of course they're endangered in the wild, and it would be almost impossible for them to capture and use wild chimpanzees, so they have captive breeding programs that enable them to have a steady supply.
To go back to people who have been supporter of the AIDS community for a very long time, there's Elvira Peterson, Elvira,
yes.
Mistress of the Dark, and she wrote in an article that appeared in The Advocate, I think in July 95, the more I learned about it, the more I became convinced that animal research is doing more harm than good and that the forces behind it are motivated by profit, not compassion. I think that resumes very well this whole issue.
Yes, she is one of PETA's supporters who has been so outspoken on this issue, as well as Chrissy Hind, who spoke at the march and pointed out that, of course, she's been in the music industry for many, many years, and AIDS has certainly affected her personally and the people that she's met in her career. And as she pointed out, everyone that she's known with AIDS has been against animal research. And I find the same thing. A lot of my friends have AIDS or have died from AIDS. And if anything, I think the experience of living with AIDS and the suffering one endures makes one more compassionate, makes one understand what animals must go through in laboratories. And simply the idea of trying to inflict AIDS on those who don't normally acquire it. I mean, our goal should be to be containing it or limit it, and what we're doing is finding ways to spread the suffering. And I know a lot of people with AIDS really find that reprehensible.
Absolutely. And not only that, I've read, I believe it might have even been in your article, that the hope lies in studying the actual human survivors, the long-term survivors, the HIV inhibitors in saliva, mm-hmm. human cell and tissue cultures, and even ethnobotany.
Yes, there are promising avenues that aren't getting funding because it's not obvious how to make such things profitable for the big corporations involved. And the particularly studies of long-term survivors, that has received so little attention. And
right.
In my opinion, that's really going to give us the clue. Obviously, some people are able to live with HIV and be well and have an appropriate immune response. We want to find out how to create that in everyone. And I think one of the reasons that whole area has been largely ignored is that it blows out of the water the HIV equals AIDS equals death paradigm, which creates the hysteria that gets a lot of funding for this kind of research. It makes the virus this really scary thing that we have to devote everything to trying to stop. Long-term survivors really put into question that whole assumption.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Stephen. We have to break because the program is over. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was very
awesome,
interesting,
Stephen.
And it's so encouraging to have people, articulate people like you out there discussing those issues.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephen.